Bike.
It's the Bro Show. It's Lucas and Jacob.
Hey, bros.
Hey, bros.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Did that really happen last week? We all know what we're talking about.
Okay. So Jacob got in drama with a TikToker. You all saw it. And where he was about to expose his ass. We have receipts. And we're going to put him on blast.
Everyone's against me right now. But this is going to be my redemption, I can tell.
I feel like that, obviously none of that is a reality, but I just had this vision in 6 months. That's going to be the vibe of this podcast. I feel like somehow like you're going to be in this whirlwind and every week is going to be about clearing up rumors about you. It's like, yes, he left Nobu with Bryce Hall and he was last seen with Kid Laroi, but he isn't a player. And you have to like come over here and like redeem yourself. Can't you just see it?
No, I can't.
I do want to clear up that I have a little white zit attached to my lip. I don't even know if you can see it on camera. It's kind of a cute one.
I honestly didn't notice it, but now I did. Yeah. Whenever I see stuff like that, it reminds me of more of a alternative person.
Doesn't it kind of look like a lip ring?
No, that's what I'm saying is that I think I kind of like view a zit by your lip kind of like a lip ring. And when I think of lip rings, I kind of think of like emo people.
I
and
know
stuff.
Scene people from MySpace.
Yeah, so it kind of is cool.
I do feel like if you did see me just walk past you, you might think, it's a lip ring, a white lip ring, but it's actually a white head. And I'm not popping it because whenever I've gotten facials, the facialist always says, don't pop your zits. But I was thinking about it. Last week, we were talking about cults. And if anybody's ever telling you not to do something you know you can do, but the solution is you pay them to do it, is this all a scam?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That's like, really good point.
Like, what them pushing their fingers together and pushing out the pus isn't really any different than me. They always claim you might hurt yourself, scar yourself. I'm not coming for any estheticians. I know a big percentage of our audience is estheticians. I'm on your side. I just want to know the answer.
So I remember in high school, I was at lunch and one of my friends said, oh yeah, I don't pop my zits anymore because my dermatologist said you're not supposed to.
It's always these people in power. The dermatologist wants that person to go there and pay them to pop the zit.
But how do you have enough willpower not to pop it? Because I've heard that too before, but whenever I have a white head and it's been there for a day, I can't keep it there because it's just so annoying.
Yeah, I think it's because it was a lip zit. You know when you pop those, you start crying.
Yeah, those are the worst. So I actually get it.
And I kind of just wanted to have a white head today just for the little extra layer of attention. Like it probably isn't. It doesn't really add up to that much extra attention, but just the tiniest little sliver of extra attention, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you're walking around with a lip zit, people do treat you with a little bit more respect.
I could kind of see that. Because it's like, oh, you have a lip zit, so I have to treat you better than other people because you're probably having a bad day.
I know they feel bad for you. You automatically get sympathy.
Yeah.
And Charlie XCX said sympathy is a knife.
But
I would beg to differ.
To you, it's a genie in a bottle type moment.
Oh no, for me it's a trophy. We have to raise awareness before we went live right now in front of the studio audience. I was looking at Google News and I saw Chipotle is starting to use avocado machines.
Oh, okay, so they like cut it open, like this machine would cut it open and make guac.
Yes, so there's already, right now, before this, humans made the guac, but now a little robot creature is going to make it. And they said they're also the avocado robot can also make bowls and salads.
Wait, how though? Like, is it a big machine that has rice in it and stuff, and they just dump it, and then dump the beans in, dump the chicken in?
And I guess the reason why they even like invested in this technology is because 65% of orders at Chipotle are bowls or salads. Like people aren't even getting the burritos.
Well, I guess with me, I do the big man order, which is a bowl, and then you get tortilla on the side. And then basically you eat half the bowl, then put the... So I feel like people might be getting burritos, but my type of burrito, basically the big boy burrito.
Oh, yeah, that is a good hack for anybody not in the know. You get, yeah, you load up your bowl and then you have a tortilla on the side. So you basically get two meals out of it. You get the bowl, you eat half of that, and then you shove the rest into the burrito.
But then the thing about it is that since Biden inflation, I remember back in 2016 when Donald Trump was president. I'm joking, but
the president controls Chipotle prices.
No, but basically,
what if that was their main thing? Like, what the price of Chipotle is going
to
be?
Okay, we're bringing the McChicken back to $1. No, but basically, it used to be free to get a tortilla, but now it's like 30 cents.
Oh, wait, it used to be free?
Yeah, because...
Wait, well, I don't get it. Why would it be 30 cents? Because is a bowl a little bit cheaper than a burrito? Because otherwise, it's not really adding up.
I think it's the same.
Wait, they try these little tricks and they don't think we're going to notice.
And it all goes back to the twink that made Chipotle.
I know.
He's in his office trying to create little ways to create 30 more cents.
But I get... Knowing that an alleged twink controls Chipotle, I'm down for them to raise prices. Because I get it. Like, he's just like, I'm going to try to slip it in, add 35 cents they have to pay for a tortilla. And if all these little hoes do it, it's going to add up to $1 billion in my pockets. It's him against the world.
And then he's like, then I could bring all my friends from Fire Island to Mykonos for another 50 years.
And I know, so I'm on his side. He's still an alleged twink. We've tried to research his sexuality. I don't even know why we're so invested in the Chipotle founder sexuality, but please just don't speculate.
I know, honestly.
Like you guys, that's not nice.
I've already said this before, but when I say twink, I'm not even referring to sexuality. Oh, no,
it's his
sexual
aura.
Orientation. I'm just referring to people's auras. Like, same like if someone said, oh, Jacob, like, you just give such, like masculine lesbian vibes. Like, it's not saying that I'm now a transgender female. It's more just the vibe of you just out of that. And you can say you're not it. Even if you... out like a woman, you just like I just one of those things where it just is deeper than like all this stuff.
Yeah, I get you.
It's
but I just
really
realized
deep.
I feel like twink is so widely used. What is the lesbian equivalent? I know there's like lipstick lesbians. Did I say lip stink?
Yeah, lip for a second, I thought you were saying it slow, and I was like, I never heard this slow before, but
oh no, lipstick lesbians are like the femme ones, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if that's from the 90s, but I remember hearing that on like Sex and the City or something way back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really know what the equivalent would be.
Lesbians, you know what to do. Type in the comments and let us know. but back to the Chipotle thing.
Yeah.
So I guess people are mad because they're like, well, like you have to pay these employees, you know? And you're going to get rid of all the employees and replace them with robots. But the little way that they're trying to spin it is saying, you guys, like, we're still going to have humans work there, obviously. But these machines are going to give them more time to, like, connect with the customers.
Wait.
Like, girl.
Whenever I'm at Chipotle, like, the most they've said to me is, like, are you getting a bowl, a burrito, or a salad? And then they say, what type of meat, what type of bean? And then then they say, okay, it's 1082. And I guess the connection would be, I could see them saying, thanks for coming, come again. But
yeah. And also if these little robot machines are going to make them talk to customers like to a Trader Joe's level, then I don't know if this might backfire. People don't want to be talked to like that.
Yeah.
I actually stopped going to Trader Joe's because of that. I know it's like a meme. Oh my God, Trader Joe's workers talk to you so much. But I actually was just like, it's not worth it.
And then it turns into a thing where when the employees are in that type of headspace, every all the customers get into that headspace. And I've noticed at Trader Joe's before that the people there are willing to go up to you more and just say like, oh, have you tried this chicken? It's really good.
No, it's just such a social environment.
And it turns into a thing where it's like, oh, all this sympathy is it just turns into this big thing.
I know. It is traumatic. Like, you go into Trader Joe's and you're being like verbally attacked. Like, it's a veil of, oh, we're being so nice, but it's like, just leave me alone.
I feel like this meme would get a million likes. It shows you leaving Trader Joe's, and then this is the text. Leaving Trader Joe's be like, and then it's you leaving. It's okay, I'm okay. It's okay, I'm okay. And basically,
Tate
it's you.
McRae song.
And then it's you being like, oh, like okay. Even though I went through all that socialization, I'm still okay. It's okay.
I know, it's just sad because it's not even just the customers who are uncomfortable. Like when I went to Trader Joe's last time, I swear even the employees uncomfortable with it. It's like, we don't have to do this game. We don't have to have this fake conversation. Where is the self-checkout? Now I'm back to like, we need the robots.
You know there's some rude people though that have, the Trader Joe's employees started talking to them and they said, stop. I'm done with this little fake thing that you're doing. You want to do it for your boss, but don't try it on me.
Also, that's so funny thinking of the Trader Joe's employees because you know they ask the same question to everyone and they don't even listen to the answer. So like, even the fact that we feel like we have pressure to come up with an answer, like their mind is not even there. Like I feel like they aren't paying attention at all. Cause you know what I mean? If you did that to so many people in a row, it'd be like, I honestly don't give a single shit how your day is, but I have to ask you. I have to ask you what you're doing after this. I have to ask you if you've tried this food before. Like, it's all just an automatic script.
But this is making me think that if you wanted to hire some local actors wherever you live, maybe go to the Trader Joe's, because even though I do believe it just is fake and they aren't even listening, they always seem so genuine. So I feel like there is something that I'm not aware of, but if you go, like, dive into people's biographies and Wikipedias, don't you kind of feel like there's a connection of being a Trader Joe's employee to becoming an actress or actor?
Oh, yeah, because you're already acting the whole time.
Yeah, your job is being an actor.
I know, that's crazy. Like, I just want to at some point, like, have one of these jobs where I have to interact with so many different people in one day. Like for example, we went to a Rainforest Cafe recently. I am wearing a Rainforest Cafe shirt right now. But anyway, we went recently and the waiters are so over the top there because first of all, it's so loud in there and she was like screaming, like she had to scream because she probably is low-key gone deaf because the environment's so loud, you know? Yeah. But I was just thinking like it'd just be cool having one of those jobs where you have to be screaming at strangers all day and like so excited. Like I feel like it would grow you as a person.
Yeah, and then I wonder if that kind of goes into your actual life or like when you're at like the grocery store, like you're kind of like screaming at people being like, oh, what are you doing for dinner?
Oh, yeah. And then you come. I wonder, yeah, if you did work at Rainforest Cafe and you went home, like, would you be screaming at your family and they would have to, like, calm you down?
Oh, yeah. But, like, maybe it just is who they become, you know? But it's not screaming in an angry way. It's more screaming because they have so much, like, energy.
Oh, yeah. Or I could see you go home after the shift at the Rainforest Cafe and you are just, like, so low. Like, it's the biggest high. You're in there. The elephants are screaming. The animatronic tigers are growling. And then the second you leave, it's just the calm after the storm, and it's like a low, low.
Oh, it's kind of like how people say, like, when you watch these celebrity documentaries, they're like, I have to stay up for like 6 hours after the concert because you have so much adrenaline.
Yeah.
But like, it lasts for like 15 minutes, and then it's like,
oh, yeah, wait, how come current,
it's not that deep?
How come current musicians and like celebrities don't ever talk about that? I swear when I was younger, that was always the go-to when they did an interview of saying, like, you guys, you don't know how lonely the hotel room is after. And it's just, but maybe
I feel
now
like we've heard it too many times.
Yeah, I feel like maybe also the current people, like they can FaceTime people. They have their friends on tour with them. Whereas maybe back then, like it was literally just, they performed and they like kind of just had them on a leash and threw them in a hotel room, shut the door.
Wasn't
that probably the vibe in the 90s?
I could see a world back in the 90s, like Michael Jackson, the biggest pop star ever. Couldn't you see even him? They were like, we're booking you in a Motel 6.
I know.
And they're like, we want to save money, and most of the money's going to the managers and stuff.
And they're like,
you know?
For the next 4 years, you're on tour.
And you're in a Motel 6 every night.
Yeah, and then he says, oh, I don't want to. It's like, you signed the contract. If you don't do it, you're going to prison. And so is your whole family. So, like, then he's forced to. I feel like that
is your whole family.
I feel like that's how it used to be. Like, thank God it's not like that anymore for these musicians. Because I actually read Steve Martin's book. He was a stand up comedian, but he said when he did Vegas, like, he had a Vegas residency doing stand up every single night. And he said it was the most lonely thing ever. It was so depressing. But he said looking back on it, like when he wrote the book, it was decades after that. And he was like, he could have just had friends with him, but he never thought of it, I guess. Like he could have hired friends as like an assistant or like,
oh yeah,
or just somehow like flew out his family. But he said he just didn't think of any of that. And was just, he said it was just so, it actually sounded so depressing.
How long
in his
was
book.
This? Like 5 years or something?
I think it was years. And he said he just like, yeah, like you said, he couldn't get to bed after the show. So he was up until morning, and then he'd sleep all day. He'd wake up and it'd be night, and then you're in Vegas. And then you have to go and be a clown on stage, make everyone laugh.
I feel like I would just become a clown to the point of, like, it's kind of scary.
I know. I get it, because even something about Vegas must do it to people, because even Elvis, wouldn't he do his show, order so much room service, he would, like, and then he would, like, eat, like, so many hamburgers, and then he ended up dying, like, while eating and, like, shitting on a toilet, right? It's just what happens, I feel like, if you go on tour too long.
Something like that, yeah.
R.I.P.
With the Michael Jackson thing, I'm pretty sure I remember watching like a conspiracy about that. Because I was just bringing up the Michael Jackson thing as a joke. But I remember hearing conspiracy theories about like what we were just joking about. Saying like, they actually walked these people to death. There's conspiracy theories about it. I don't know how much it's proven.
I remember even Amy Schumer, like she said, she joked like 5 years ago, like she had this really rough pregnancy and she was like, I still have to do the rest of this tour because like otherwise I'll get sued, you know? And she was like, yeah, like there's literally no way out and I wish someone would help me. But everyone just thought she was joking. But anyway.
Okay, but with the back to the avocado thing.
No.
Is it actually going to make them hire less employees or is it more just like...
So they're only rolling this out in a few California locations. Mm. But the whole conspiracy was California fast food workers, I think they get paid the most out of the whole country. So, like, it's like, why are they rolling it out there first?
Oh.
Makes you think.
I kind of think. I think Tate McRae needs to say something about this.
We're waiting for her to Instagram story about it. The Tate-inators. But speaking of...
I can't imagine you go because you were literally just listening to a song.
Yeah, we listened to her song to pump us up for the podcast. I'm okay. I'm okay. Is that what it's called?
I'm okay. It's okay.
But speaking of how hard celebrities have it, it actually hit me this week on how does Taylor Swift do it? Because I was watching the VMAs and they show her every second. And then I went on YouTube and there's a live stream of her. It's not just of her. It's of the crowd, but it's basically just Taylor Swift. Her entire time at the VMAs is being live streamed. Like I wouldn't be able to handle that type of pressure. Cause I'd be like, what if I make the wrong face when Katy Perry is on stage and it turns into this whole thing and everyone starts hating me. Like, I feel like I would just overanalyze everything that I was doing.
Cause the thing about it is that like, okay, just think about yourself when you're at a show. Like, yes, you might be enjoying the show and you might say ton out of ton after, but you don't have the biggest smile on your face the whole time. So it would suck because you know, like these people on the internet would over-exaggerate everything.
Oh yeah. And then it also is confusing because when everyone's performing, she knows all the words. So is it the vibe where like she's written so many songs where like, she's like, oh, I know where this song's going. Or does she actually just know everyone's music? Like, I feel like maybe she has to study before the VMAs. So like, she doesn't seem like she's like hating on people and not knowing the lyrics from the audience.
Wait, like she knew everyone's words?
Not everything, but like when Katy Perry was performing, she even knew when a beat drop was about to happen. I guess everybody knows when the beat drop happens in Dark Horse. But you know what? Because you'll never go and back. Nah, nah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That beat drop didn't happen and it showed her and she was like, where's the beat drop?
Oh.
But like she always has to have a line, you know, for the cameras.
And then there's so you could watch her entire time at the VMAs?
Yeah, on YouTube there's a live cam of the audience. So whenever she's in the audience, obviously they're mostly showing her, you know?
Oh, but there isn't a live cam that's only showing her the whole time? It's not that invasive yet?
I feel like there'd be a way you'd be able to somehow just see her. Because when they have like a Taylor cam.
I just thought they would.
I don't even like when she went to the first Chiefs game a couple of weeks ago. And like I saw all these clips on Twitter of people filming her the entire time at the Chiefs game. And one of them was her talking to Travis Kelce's dad. And like, it already would be awkward talking to your boyfriend's dad. But then like, everybody's watching you like that. But it was so funny because even she was kind of awkward. Like she was pointing to things like, you know, if you start pointing at things and you're talking to someone, you know, like the combo's not really going anywhere. Well, she's probably pointing out like, oh, look at that over there. Like,
I actually think I would just start bawling because I'm one of those people where if I'm talking to someone and I even realize one person's looking at me, I already am getting this one feeling of like I'm being watched. And then I, for some reason, feel like I have to like talk differently or something.
No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I would be so aware that I was being perceived by all these people that I wouldn't be able to act even kind of natural. Like, I feel like it's even if... I've even thought while watching Selling Sunset before, their office is just one big room. And if I was on a business phone call, I feel like I'd have to leave that room. I wouldn't be able to talk to him in front of everyone.
Oh, yeah. I don't really get how in these shows they talk in front of like 20 people because I'm the person of like, even if it's like just my DoorDash deliver calling saying, because at the door, like, I want to go in a room to answer the call.
I feel like for me, it's because like I want to be able to be my full, like loud self, like, fully be loose. Whereas I feel like if I was in an office full of all these people, I feel like I'd be kind of holding myself back and it would just be annoying. But even Taylor Swift, I feel like I wouldn't be able to just be myself if constantly people were filming me on their iPhones during an entire 3-hour game. But that's why people like her, like, they must just be made for it. Because, like, as far as I know, she just seems fine with it.
And then she always goes to these public things, so...
Oh, that's true.
Because the thing about it is that, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but there was these other celebrities, well, it probably is a thing, like, right now Taylor Swift's, like, the biggest celebrity ever, but there's these other celebrities that are huge, but you never see them anywhere, so... Like, what I'm trying to say is that it could be a thing where, like, she does kind of like it. Just because I'm just thinking about these other celebrities that are almost just as big, and you honestly never even hear about them, really.
Oh, that's for sure true. Like, if anybody else was dating Travis Kelce or someone else in the NFL, like, they might sit in the back of the box or maybe just be somewhere where somehow nobody can see them. But she's literally front, middle in the box, so... I think she is just the vibe of, like, I'm just going to fully do it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and then maybe it's a thing where it's like, I want to be in the front and, like, people are filming me the whole time, but I guess I just don't give a fuck anymore.
Oh, yeah, and she just, maybe, like, everything is an Easter egg. Like, she's kind of doing hints.
Oh, yeah.
You see she's even doing hints during the Chiefs games, like, doing little hand signals where if you asked the biggest Swiftie, they would have, like, so many different things that she did that is about her next album.
Oh, yeah, like, I could see a world where, like, last year's game she was at or something, like, people would say, like, okay, if you're really a Swiftie, like, in 2036, when it's the year 2036, people will look back at a game she went to in 2023 and be like, it's kind of weird because Taylor Swift predicted this. And then they'd show the video of her predicting it, and it would be her, like, moving her hand above her head. And then they would say, well, that's her creating a tornado. And then there was a tornado. Like, I feel like people, these hardcore people would, like, create all these, like,
I know, couldn't you picture, like,
things?
She, like, actually does, like, she is, she's saying all that, everything that's going to happen for the rest of our lives through Easter eggs at every Chiefs game, and, like, no one's picked up on it yet. But they'll be like, wait, guys, like, she predicted the great flood in Los Angeles.
Wait, because what if
that happened, you know?
What if she is, like, yeah, like, a version of Mother Nature or something, and then, like, she predicts all these natural disasters?
I know. What if she is just Jesus, but she doesn't know it yet?
That's how a cult starts, I feel like. Like, you meet your cult leader, and it's like, I kind of could see them being Jesus.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, it's so funny how Donald Trump tweeted 2 days ago as we're filming this. He literally just tweeted in all caps, I hate Taylor Swift.
It's so funny because these are like the drama videos that show up in my recommended. Like why I hate Katy Perry? Why I hate blah, blah, blah.
But he's doing it. Couldn't you see him making a drama video about her?
Like, oh, yeah, I could see. And then he has, like, all these points.
Yeah, he's like, 7 things you didn't know Taylor Swift did that are really bad. He's, like, ready to expose it.
I feel like it's just crazy because, like, there hasn't ever been, like, a president nominee that cares this much about celebrities, it seems like.
And but it was, when I saw this, I was like, okay, but when I wrote this in the podcast topics, I was like, this isn't real. I was like, I feel like this is all a meme or something, and I didn't realize it was a joke. But I Googled it, and it's actually real. Like, he actually tweeted in all caps, I hate Taylor Swift. Like, what is this?
So,
like, I hate Taylor Swift. Like, that just, for some reason, that just seems like a whole other level. Just so childish.
I know. Because I feel like for me, when I hear the word hate, it's kind of just like, hate?
In all caps.
Yeah, and then just hating, like, a human that, like, didn't really do anything. Like, what did she do that was that bad?
Gives the vibe of, like, an 8-year-old, like, didn't get what they wanted, and they say, I hate you. Like, you know, it just gives that vibe. Like, no one's ever told me they hate me in so long to my face. Like, can you imagine if you did something to someone, and they actually were serious, that I hate you? Like,
it's kind of funny.
Only an 8-year-old would say that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the last time someone would have said to my face, I hate you, is probably elementary school.
I know, because when does that ever happen in real life? Unless it's a playful, like, I hate you. But, like, actually being like, I hate you. I'm going to start saying that.
He has a Twitter now?
I don't know what, like, platform he posted this, but something like that. Oh, yeah, doesn't he have his own Twitter or something?
We should start. I feel like the YouTube algorithm works like, they can understand what we're saying sometimes. And someone commented on one of our podcasts saying, like, I love this podcast, but, like, 2 Trump ads showed up. So maybe it's because when you say Trump, and then, like, the algorithm's like, let's put a Trump ad there.
Oh, yeah. We're secretly, I'm taking money from his campaign.
Oh.
Yeah, we secretly, like, put the ads in ourselves for Trump.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I wonder what we would do if he emailed our podcast and said, like, would you guys do an ad? I feel like I might take the money because it would just be funny. I'd be like, can I still say my opinion?
Well, it would just be so cool if there was a way that we could take the money.
And still, somehow, like, give, yeah.
But then somehow, like, tell the audience it's a joke, but without him suing us. Like, and then it'd be so funny. Like, let's say he actually paid us so much money. It'd be so funny spending the money in such dumb ways. It would just be so funny.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I would have to do it because that does just sound iconic. Actually, doing an ad read. You guys, get out and vote for him. Like, that would just be funny.
But then it would just, it would be so funny. But then if he actually won, it'd be like, wait, did people actually take it seriously?
It's like, wait, even the Bro Show like- listeners nominated him. It was all because of our ad. But I just wonder what is going to happen with this. So Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala. Taylor Swift, I mean, then Trump said, I hate Taylor Swift. Like, is this where the battle ends? And I also saw he made an Eras shirt, but it's his face. So, like, I just want to know, like, where is this going? Like, is she gonna take the bait and do another swing, or is she just gonna take the high road?
I don't know how illegal it is to, like, copy someone's mantra. I don't know how that works.
I think there's parody laws, right? Couldn't we make a parody of anything?
On Nathan For You, he created literally like a place called Not Starbucks or something, and and then it was just. Yeah, and then he got away with it and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, technically it's legal, I think, if it's a parody. So I feel like she actually wouldn't have any. I'm just saying, I wonder if the battle, like, is she going to say something else or, like, is she just going to leave it?
I feel like, oh, this is my actual prediction. I don't think any. I feel like from her side, she's just going to leave it. But probably not from his side, but.
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm just kidding.
I just randomly thought about last week, thigh gaps.
Oh, I missed those. When was it? Like 2013?
Well, on Wikipedia, it said this is apparently the origin of it all, which I don't know how true Wikipedia is on the thigh gap stuff, but they said in December 2012, after the Victoria's Secret fashion show, that's when it gained so much attention because people started noticing the alma models had thigh gaps.
Oh my God. It's just so weird thinking that probably 9 out of 10 people listening to this podcast right now, like, around 2012, 2013, looked at themselves in the mirror to see if they had a thigh gap. We all did it.
I know. That's what's weird about it is that, okay, so I was Googling it and it's like way more deeper than I thought. I just kind of thought when I thought about it for a second that everyone thought it was a joke, but there actually is like, there was all these things about like, oh, people got body dysmorphia and stuff and people think it's horrible, which like that part makes sense. But I just remember being in the middle being like, do I have a thigh gap? Because I thought it was more of just a funny trend, but it actually is way deeper than that.
I feel like, I'm coming from a privileged point of view. I'm not saying this to brag, but I did have a thigh gap. So for me, it was more of a fun thing. But like now I'm putting myself in the shoes. Like if I would have done that and not had a thigh gap, maybe it would have put me down a bad path, you know?
Oh, yeah, this picture like.
But I did. I want to say once again on the record, I did and do have a thigh gap. So, but like, I'm not saying that's good. I'm kidding. I actually don't know if I have a thigh gap. Should I check? See if I still have it.
Yeah.
Let me go real quick.
Oh, my gosh.
We can't face tune this. This is live.
You start crying.
Wait, do I? Wait. Oh, it's because I have so much muscle, though.
Oh,
wait,
shit.
Do I have a thigh gap?
Yeah, you would have one.
Oh, I do. I thought I didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's a gap between your thighs.
But now it's kind of like I kind of wouldn't want to have one because I want to have big enough thigh muscles that they touch.
Because you're a muscle man.
Yeah, it's the evolution.
Yeah, so you should do this too. I went on my YouTube account and searched through my comments to see if anyone of us said I had a thigh gap. I was just curious. You should do this too. But someone said, Jacob has a thigh gap confirmed at 3 minutes and 42 seconds on one of my videos. But this was, I'm assuming whoever commented this is just joking because I probably joked about a thigh gap in that video.
Wait, but
someone
when,
did say I had a thigh gap.
When was that posted?
It was only like 3 years ago. So this person was just joking, but.
They were trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
Wait, what even made you think of a thigh gap? It just randomly popped into your mind.
I don't know. I just randomly popped in mind. I've been trying to attain one. No, I'm joking. It just randomly popped into my mind. But I guess people have gotten surgery to get a thigh gap. I just didn't know it went that far.
Wait, they just lipoed just the inner thigh or like the cutout part of it?
I don't know how that works, but on Wikipedia it says people have gotten surgeries to attain
it. Oh my
it.
Gosh. Getting, that sucks.
And so it just makes me wonder, like, actually before 2012, this wasn't like a thing mainstream at least, but maybe there was like subcategories of like cultures where like people wore like I have a thigh gap, so I'm skinny or something.
Yeah, maybe it was more of a thing that people like knew, like high fashion models had it, but it wasn't like a nationwide, an international word, like phrase that everyone used.
But then the internet turns it into a thing like, yeah, like everyone just knows about everything, kind of.
Yeah. It just gives such like a middle school vibe, like thigh gaps, like caring about that. Because I also remember there's some, like growing up, it always was kind of a thing of like, can you fit your fingers around your wrist?
Oh, yeah, because this, it gives such, like, little kid energy because it's so dumb. Like
yeah.
Does it actually mean if you have a thigh gap, like you're healthy? Like, it kind of seems like the vibe, like, wouldn't some people, like, just not have a thigh gap, but they're still healthy? Like,
oh, yeah, because they'd be so dumb. Yeah, when it actually correlates to anything. I just don't really get why anyone cared about them, but I did have one. I'm kidding. We love it. All types of people. If you didn't have one, if you do have one, we support you. Didn't that probably help them, people so much struggling with it?
Just saying, like, we support you.
Just hearing us say, we support you. Like, I think it might have cured everything.
I could kind of see that.
That's what's good about this podcast.
We're just helping people.
I know. We help people more than anyone.
Make people become a butter them.
Keep doing you.
Isn't them against us. It's them and us coming together.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh my God. See?
I know.
Thank the Lord for this broadcast.
I know.
Jacob and I recently were staying at a hotel for work. Technically, we were doing videos, but other people were there for work. And I kind of want to just dive into work trips. I know that's a huge thing. Work company corporations, they'll fly out a big group of their employees to a hotel. They use the ballroom. And I just want to know the whole lore of it all. Like, people listening, they've done it. Like, neither of us have had a corporate job, so we don't really know the inner workings. Like, what is the vibe? What are they doing in those ballrooms? Is it actually needed? Is it more just for fun? Is it a waste of money? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or sometimes is it just this type of thing where it's like, you guys don't know each other, so like, stay at a hotel and then we're gonna have a ballroom. It's kind of like, oh, mingle with each other and then like, you guys will be more friendly with each other, which might work out to be butter work.
Yeah.
Like, more stuff done.
Because I know a lot of times it's for like a convention. So like, multiple companies are coming together and you'll network with other companies. But at the specific hotel we were at, it kind of felt like it was all one company just did like a work gathering. But we went into the hotel bar once we were done with our work. And we're like, let's get a few drinks. And then we saw all of them getting drinks and we were just observing them. And it was just funny thinking of like, is that the main point of these work trips? Just the drunk vibe at the end of the night of the bonding? Or like, yeah, I just want to know the whole vibe of it. So if anyone's been to one, let us know in depth what goes down.
And then like, is there some people that are just like staying in the hotel rooms the whole time?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions.
Is there cheating? Is there hookups? Because also it was funny because it was like 10 o'clock at night and that's, I think the hotel bar closed at like 11. So around 10:30, it seemed like most everyone was leaving. And I swear, maybe I just didn't understand the situation, but we went to the bathroom and I saw this one girl go up on the elevator and she was saying bye to people. But then 10 minutes later, she was back down at the bar. So it was like, was that all? Did she have to pretend to her work friends like, okay, let's all go to bed. But then she was like, I'm getting another drink.
Oh, yeah. Because is it like a Real Housewives thing where like there was drama out of work saying like, you're an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. So she had to say.
She wanted to not feed the rumors. So then she had to go to the floor. And then
we heard those one people saying, wait, should we get a drink, a glass of wine to bring up to the room?
Oh, yeah. And then I think they did.
I know. So it's like those people were just freely doing it. But this other girl was kind of sneaking alcohol. It was just... there was a lot going on.
And then I heard someone said, like, I'm going to go to bed. And then they had, like, some type of white wine in a glass. And then one of the other people said, oh, my gosh, don't... because they were going to put it on the counter for, like, the bartender to throw away or whatever. But one of the other people was like, don't throw it away. I'll have it.
Oh!
Yeah, it's like, people were like... it was like, a glass of wine is, like, $15. Like, give me it. And I'm like, don't waste it.
Oh, yeah, don't waste it, girl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to know... I want to know the complete... unabridged lore of a work hotel trip.
Yeah, because like the thing about it is that there is like these ones that are like more conventions, which I feel like those ones would be more organized.
Yeah.
But I want to know more about like a loosey-goosey one.
I know, where they rent, because we even walked past the ballroom during the day and they did have stuff set up in there. So I feel like during the day it would be so boring. Like somebody, you're in a ballroom and people are saying, okay, you guys, like, we know this whole year it's all about making more... hot dog variations for the Oscar Mayer company. Like, just pretend that it's the Oscar Mayer work trip.
Yeah.
They're saying, so, like, anyone have any ideas for, like, new hot dog things? Like, and that's the whole day, and it's so boring. But then finally at night, they get a let loose at the hotel bar.
Oh, I just had, like, this vision of, like, what if you on a work trip? But yeah, and then, like, they have this whole presentation set up, and there was, like, 50 chairs for, like, you to sit in, you know? And then couldn't even just stuff like this happening? Okay, they get the projector on, and then like, the boss comes out and says, okay, it's not working. It'll be, like, 20 minutes. And then they don't fix it. And then 20 minutes, like, 20 minutes, we're going to fix it. And then couldn't you picture it? Someone takes an hour to set it up. And then when they do the slideshow, it's the most boring slideshow.
I'm picturing it to be like going to church growing up. Because remember, going to church growing up, I always would plan a bathroom break about halfway through. And the bathroom break would somehow take 10 to 15 minutes. Mm. So I pictured you'd have to do stuff like that at these during these work presentations. You'd be like, you have to go to the bathroom, and like you would milk the bathroom for all it's worth. Check every social media platform. Look at yourself in the mirror for 2 minutes. Like, you would not be rushing it because you don't want to go back in that room.
That might be a good advice for people that want to quit smoking. Turn your smoking break into a bathroom break. Now, if you smoke, you obviously still use the bathroom because you're still human. But basically, turn your bathroom break into what Lucas is saying, more of a vibe. So like I'm talking about, you go pee. Pull up your pants, wash your hands, but then kind of like flappy board, like play that in the style for a little bit. Like, maybe, like do stuff like that, and it kind of makes the bathroom experience more fun.
Yeah, maybe a re-download Temple Run.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that could make it more of a vibe. Do a stretch moment.
And it's kind of thing where it's like, even though I don't have to go poop, sit on the toilet.
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe like, something will start to formulate.
Yeah, just create a whole thing where somehow going to the bathroom takes 10 minutes.
I know, you can do it. I did it all the time in church. I'd walk so slow to the bathroom. And then just while you're in there, yeah, it's a good 10 minutes. And just going pee. It can take 10 minutes if you really are in the moment.
That's reminding me of like, you'd say, I'm texting in the bathroom. And I remember when I was little, I used to think texting was so cool. Like, because I couldn't text, I didn't have a phone. But I remember thinking like, when I saw people like pull out that little keyboard, you remember that one phone where you slid it and then it had a keyboard that came out?
Oh, yes.
Whatever phone that was, where it was like a rectangle.
It was like an off-brand Sidekick.
Oh, yeah. I feel like when you guys were using those, I was like so jealous. Like, it just looked so fun and cool.
I remember being in church, like wanting so badly to go on my phone. And sometimes I would try to sneak it. You know how like church has the songbook?
Yeah.
So I would like put my phone in there, but then mom would get mad. But I remember always dreaming of this invention. Like, one day we'll be able to go on our phones and it'll be like invisible.
Still doesn't happen.
I know. That still doesn't. I don't. When is that going to come out? The iPhone 16 was just announced, and there's no invisible phone for secretly going on your phone
Maybe
during church.
I'm wrong, but it feels like phones have styled for the last like 5 years. Like, it feels like, okay, we've gotten a thing with a touchscreen so good, the camera so good. Someone needs to make it better. And I know that Google has a Google Flip, but it's like, I don't care if it flips.
I know. It's like, we already did that. Yeah, we don't need to go back. We aren't going backwards.
It would be cool to have an invisible phone, and then like a phone that never breaks. Like, but the thing about it is that these companies are never going to make a phone that never breaks because they want you to buy a new Emmy 2 years at least.
God. But that's what, I do feel like we have reached the maximum amount of capabilities of a rectangle square. Like, that is maxed out. Yes, maybe every year the camera will get a tiny bit better. The battery will last a little bit longer, but it needs to be a whole different medium to really advance. There needs to be an invisible phone.
I'm kind of thinking the next step to... I think invisible phone is another 20 years. I'm kind of thinking the next step is in Victorious when they had that little pale phone. I can see that design like being more innovative for these technologies to be used in.
Do you think any any sort of like Android company ever contacted Victorious and iCarly and were like, can we buy the Pairphone design?
That's the thing, is that I could see it being more of like, they were never planning on making it their main phone. Like, let's say Samsung was going to buy it. But they were going to create a kid phone.
Oh, yeah. But I feel like adults would want to use it, though.
Yeah, that is a weird shape, though, for your pocket.
Yeah, to be honest, it also seems annoying watching a YouTube video on a Pairphone and half of it's cut off because it's not a rectangle.
Do you think, like, anytime soon the dimensions for video and... it will ever change?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you
that's
think
another
soon
thing.
It will happen?
That's another thing. I'm not even trying to be, oh my God, I'm so cute and stupid. I don't get why we switched from full screen to widescreen, because this is my whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Full screen. You know how you immediately think, okay, making it widescreen makes you see more. But I never understood that, because now we're at a widescreen. what if we add to the top and bottom and it goes back to full screen? You know what I mean? Like, theoretically, that would be, you'd be seeing more. I don't think anyone's ever thought of that.
Wait, so you're saying if they advance to another...
No, this is what I was always confused by. You know, a full screen, they said, we made it widescreen so you can see more. Isn't that the reason? I actually don't know if that's why, but okay. That's pretty much why they made it widescreen, right?
Yeah, that's how I think.
So then what I don't get is now when we're widescreen, why don't we add to the top and bottom and then it would just be back to full screen? Do you get it?
Like, I feel like you're like more into this because you actually like, were like making videos doing this. Was like, I feel like really
this is my like Albert Einstein moment. Like when he first described E equals MC squared, like probably no one really got it. But like,
yeah,
I feel like I'm the only person who gets this right now. And like, once other people get it, it's going to be a game changer.
I was talking about this like a few weeks ago. Like, it would be so funny. Like, if like what's happening with you right now, like you have this genius idea, but then it sucks because like, I don't get it.
I know, but like, I think it's because I remember the transition from full screen to widescreen. And I remember when it very first went to widescreen. Oh, wait, what am I trying to say? Oh, basically when it was widescreen and you'd watch it on a full screen TV, it would be full screen. And you'd see the bars on top and bottom.
That's what you're saying.
So then I would say, then I always thought, okay, if there's bars on the top and bottom when we're watching a widescreen format on a flat screen device, I mean, a full screen device, why wouldn't you just add to the top and bottom and it'd be more than widescreen? You know what I mean?
Oh, and then they never have to change the screen.
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
But then wouldn't it just be somehow be the same dimensions?
Also, like, oh, that's what I'm saying. But like, why did they even make the switch to widescreen? I don't understand.
And this is what I also don't get is that how does it become a thing where everyone listens? Like, wouldn't you kind of think?
I know.
Like, I know there's like these there's like movies that try different formats and music videos, but you know how for the most part. A bunch of media has transitioned. Like, I just thought some people would be like, big full screen is trying to, big wide screen
know,
is trying to do
I actually don't
do
get
it.
It's like, who is, there's just one person who people respect their opinion so much and they say, we got to go to widescreen. And then everyone just follows along because otherwise you'll be left behind. Because say, for example, Samsung was like, we're sticking to full screen, you guys. It's not worth it. They would just be phased out.
Yeah, so you kind of have to move with it. It's kind of like, oh yeah, so it's kind of like how like some of these companies are trying to create vertical TV because they're like, the future's vertical.
Oh, I remember that.
They're like trying to get ahead of the curve, but I just don't know if the curve is ever going to actually hit.
I know, but that was so funny. I remember, yeah, like 20, I don't even, maybe way back in like 2016, hearing about vertical TVs, and then there was the iconic... What was that one?
Quibi?
Quibi tried to make a whole vertical platform. I remember thinking, okay, girl, like this is never going to happen because can you imagine watching a movie vertical? That'd be so annoying. How tall would the movie theaters have to be?
Oh, yeah, like, the whole vertical TV is that if that did become a thing, why wouldn't you just flip your TV, you know?
Yeah.
Like you always could just flip your TV to watch Chrissy Teigen called or whatever. Wasn't that like the big show they were promoting?
Forgot she had Chrissy Teigen Court. I want to see what that show is about.
Didn't someone so funny have a reality show on there? I swear I remember seeing these like commentary YouTubers making fun of this reality show on there.
I'm trying to think. I don't probably.
Yeah, I don't remember though. When I'm driving in the car, sometimes I like realize like, oh, it's like so scary driving because like people die from fatal car accidents and like. We drive all the time, so, like, we try not to think about it because else we'd have a panic attack. But, like, if you got in a car wreck, like, you could die.
I know, and how it isn't. It's way more dangerous than airplanes, and we all are scared of airplanes, so it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, so we were driving, and then Lucas brought up a point of, like, why don't they just create things where, like, if you were about to hit a car, like, You go up one level or like there's a magnet in the front of your car and then like you can never hit the person in front of you.
I know. Because we were on a road trip recently and there was all these signs saying this many deaths have happened this year from car wrecks. So yeah, we just thought like, why haven't they made, yeah, some sort of magnet devices on the side of each car where you do shoot up if there's about to be a collision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there'd always be room on every road for two levels of cars.
And a few years ago, I was thinking that because I was like scared of like hitting other people when I was driving. And I thought like, wait, why don't they put a magnet on each side of your car? The front, back, both sides. And then you never hit anyone. And I didn't really like ponder on it after that because I was like, maybe someone's working on it.
Yeah, like hopefully. We can only hope.
Yeah, so I like Googled this, like, why don't car brands put magnets on cars so then no cars hit each other? And I was kind of thinking, like, some people for sure have thought about this, but maybe it's not like a big enough thing where like I won't see anything about it on the internet. But there's like a bunch of stuff about it.
Oh my God. So what are they saying? What are the girlies saying?
So this is on a physics forum. Someone was like, they were watching an old episode of Top Gear and they put magnets onto the front of two model cars and drove them at each other because the magnets were oriented so that they would repel, the cars couldn't crash. And then they were like, why don't we do that, you know?
Yeah.
And then someone replied and said, the idea of using magnets to prevent car crashes is flawed because the magnets do not scale up to the real world and would only cause damage to the car and the passengers. So I was kind of thinking, like, if you had such strong magnets where they actually, like, someone was driving 50 miles an hour and they were about to crash into someone, would it be a thing where the magnets would be so strong?
Oh,
would it
wait.
Be like a movie where your car would fly up in the air and, like, it would kill you?
Wait. Yeah, I picture, like, a simple fender bender would turn into your car flipping three times in the sky and, like, you would literally die.
If these magnets were so strong, like, couldn't you picture they're, like, deadly if you get, like...
Yeah, also, I guess when you actually think about it, if these magnets are so strong, you can't touch another car, would that even be, would there be trouble even just being side by side with another car on the highway?
Oh yeah, that's what people are saying, like parking garages. And then also the classic thing of like, if there was this strong of magnets, it could like ruin the software of the vehicle.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing when I was growing up that if you put a magnet to a computer, it ruins the computer. Because remember that for some reason in computer class, that was a whole day, you guys do not put a magnet near these computers. So then obviously I went home that night and tried it. And it didn't do anything.
It does have to be like a really strong magnet, because I remember there was like a day where I learned about this too.
I know, because I was just like, you know what? Like, I just have to know what it does. So I was like, I know I'm going to get in so much trouble. I'm going to, you know, when you're a little kid, also you think if you thought if the computer breaks, the family's broke. So I was thinking, okay, if we have to buy a new computer, I know we'll be broke. But,
oh, yeah, but like, I remember I used to think that too, stuff like that.
Because you think they're like $1 million. I literally put a magnet to the computer and nothing happened. So was that all just for fun? Who made this up?
Oh, yeah, because I kind of thought like they've improved technology enough for these simple computers. Like, it won't work.
Maybe that
magnet.
Was a thing like when computers were first made, but then by the time either of us had computers, it was already a thing where they figured out to make it so magnets can't ruin them.
Because what if you were just carrying a magnet in your pocket and it just like broke all the computers by
Yeah,
you?
What if you had a magnet in your back from back surgery? I don't know if that's a thing, but what if?
Wait, but then someone else said, I didn't think about this. If someone was on a walk or run and they had braces and the magnet was that strong, what if like they flew across the sky to your vehicle?
Oh yeah, if you had braces in the car, your teeth would be ripped out.
Yeah, so like, they're like, there's actually, because for this to work, I would think you'd have to get these such strong magnets, and then it probably would just cause more harm than good.
Yeah, but one thing I have thought, which doesn't include magnets, bumper cars. Why don't we also have bumper car edges? Like, maybe the outside of cars are already kind of similar to bumper cars, but you know, they kind of make the outside fancy. It's like, why is the outside of the car fancy? Let's make it little shitty bumpers so when we get in these fender benders in the grocery store parking lot, doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, let's say you can have any car, but then you put this thing over your car where it actually just puts bumpers on your car. It would actually be so much better. And then if you bump into another one in Scott, it's like, I don't give a shit because you just hit my bumper car.
Do you think the reason why they don't do that is
because they want to make money?
No, I thought it was because annoying us people, like we'd be getting in like bumper car fights just for fun. Like I feel like I would always hit people's bumpers because I just think it was fun.
I was thinking about that in a scenario. I was pitching a grocery store parking lot. I feel like if this did get introduced after 2 years, no one would give a shit. And I think it would be the vibe like you're driving someone, you hit your head because someone bumps into you. Because even if someone does bump into you, like it still would be annoying because like if you're in the car, you might hit the window.
Every time you get to a red light, the person behind you would smack in you because they'd be like, what? There's a bumper. It doesn't matter.
But I still think that's a good idea because...
Yeah, something like that.
Because these vehicles, like, if you get a dent in it, people are like, oh my gosh, my vehicle is so expensive. Like, I have to get it fixed. But it's kind of like this idea. Like, you know, some people get couches and they put plastic on top of it for the whole life of their couch. that sounds kind of dumb to me, but like, why don't they just do that with cars? Like, just put bumpers on it. So then if you do hit someone, it's like nothing's damaged.
That's the next thing we have to Google. Why aren't all cars bumper cars? Should we? I almost think we should take a little 30-second break right now and Google. You should just really quickly Google, why aren't cars bumper cars?
Okay.
Because I just feel like we need to know. BRB. Okay, we just researched it. We're back.
Oh, yeah, and I actually get it now.
Oh, yeah, same.
So just from, like, looking at it, it's a thing where it's like, yes, it would prevent damage on the vehicle if you had bumpers, but it actually would just be more deadly because these vehicles are built, like, so they can, like, crumple if someone hits you, so then the person in the car feels less force. Whereas if you had bumpers, if someone hit you, you'd feel way more force, which might actually result in more deaths.
Just way more people would die. But also, it's so funny because I asked ChatGPT, and they basically tried to be nice, but like the general vibe of their answer is, you're a dumbass. Because they did this whole paragraph, and they said, in essence, modern car safety systems are more complex and effective than the simple concept of bumper cars, which work well only in amusement parks. It's basically like, boo, basically they're saying no question is a stupid question, but this is a stupid question.
That's what's funny about ChatGPT. Like when we always start using AI is that like, you're like never feel like you're dumb because they put it in this way of like, it's still a good question, but.
I actually saw on Reddit, on the ChatGPT Reddit, people are saying my ChatGPT is starting to be like rude to me. And then people were saying that's because you've been rude to it. They just adapt to your style. But I'm actually mean to my ChatGPT, so like I feel like they might start being mean to me.
When I do use ChatGPT and ask it questions, I don't know why I don't. Ever since the beginning of me using these AIs, I always say thanks after they give me an answer. Just because like I don't know why. I know it's not a human and they don't have a soul or anything.
Well, that's good because now your account is being trained to be nice, whereas like mine might be being trained to be rude because I'm rude to it. Because sometimes just as a joke, like I'll write it just stupid stuff. Like I'll ask a genuine question, but then afterwards I'll be like, nah. Or I'll be like, shut up, and just to see what it says. And it's just funny seeing what it says.
Yeah.
Just like a little enjoyment for me.
But when I was like Googling this vehicle stuff about why isn't there magnets on cars, there was something that basically said like ChatGPT said like, you're just a dumbass. Like these car manufacturers are working on more intelligent things like automatic braking systems or like assisted driving. Okay, like where like, they would drive more.
Like girl, if it was as simple as a bumper car, I think they would have done that already.
Yeah.
But you just never know. We had to investigate it.
No, you definitely. This is another thing of like dumbass type thoughts. For the longest time, I thought Carrie Hilson was a Hilton. So you know the girl that sings, do the pretty girl rock. My name is Carrie.
I'm so very fly. Oh my, it's a little bit scary.
So I don't, she probably had other hits too, but basically in like 2008, that song was big. I remember it was on like her radio. And I always just thought she was a Hilton.
Because you thought when they said on the radio, that was Pretty Girl Rock by Carrie Hilson. You always thought they said Carrie Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh my but God, then, so this whole time you thought it was like Paris's sister or her cousin. Oh, like, no, what did your brain go to?
I don't know when I stopped believing this. It hasn't been any time recently.
I know, but like, did you think it was her sister or like a relative?
Oh, I just thought it was her sister, yeah.
Oh, that would have been cute if like it was.
I know, it just, it's funny how like, I thought that was a Hilton. Like, what? I'm joking.
Paris Hilton. Let's talk about it. Just kidding. There's nothing to say.
Yeah, huh?
There's nothing to say.
Yeah, huh?
But documentary review time. Jacob and I both watched Chimp Crazy on HBO. That's what it was on, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, we just need to talk about this. You guys need to watch it if you haven't. Basically, it's about this woman, this multiple people, like, they buy chimps, and they sell them, and then they train them to be in movies, and then there, it follows this one particular lady who, like, she's so into chimps, and she kind of ends up, like, kidnapping chimps against, like, she's in a fight with PETA the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to take her chimps, she's hiding them. Just a whole thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it seems like that's, like, a whole category of documentaries, like, basically these people that are kind of like, you could say, cruel to animals, like kind of being exposed. Like, I don't know if that's, it kind of seems like it's a whole thing. Like, but it's a whole documentary.
But the funny
category.
Thing is, they think that they're in the right. So it's like the battle. I feel like the documentary actually showed. It was balanced in the way that it let both sides like fully say their perspective. Like PETA's like, nobody should own a chimp. Like, this is horrible. But then you talk to the chimp owners and they're like, we are so attached. Like, chimps are 97% humans. Like, this is basically my son.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that chimps live the same. They have like basically the same lifespan as humans, it said.
Oh, like, okay. So with chimps, it's like, oh yeah, they kind of look like a human. But when it gets gross, when they don't look like a human, like, don't parrots live like almost as long as humans?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I have that in my notes. I don't think turtles should be able to live 80 years. Because I get it. Yeah, like you said, with chimps, maybe this is like a narcissistic thing since I'm a human.
Oh, yeah, that's
I think, okay, like they're allowed to live our same lifespan. But then you see a turtle, it's like, okay, let's put them all down after 20 years.
I wonder if like turtles, like they have like phases of life, like being like, just funny thing about a turtle being alive for 80 years. Like, I just can't even like fathom it.
Are they bored? Don't they just sit under bridges? Like, what are they doing? Like, I'm assuming, obviously, they have instincts they're following. Laying eggs. They lay eggs, right? I remember Miley Cyrus. Remember that movie with Liam Hemsworth? And it's all about her trying to help turtle eggs.
Wait, what movie was this?
The Last Song.
Okay, was that a Disney movie or no?
It might have been Disney, like, movies. Like, the theatrical releases, Walt Disney Pictures.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like,
a Disney
channel.
It was a Nicholas Sparks book.
Oh, there was like a moment where a bunch of his books were movies.
I know. He needs to start writing some more. He probably is, but like they need to make him into movies again.
And they always were like love stories, right?
Uh-huh. But yeah, but it's funny thinking of a turtle, like they're just living 80 years. Yeah, like what are they thinking? They're just like, yeah, still here.
Yeah, because I honestly don't know how intelligent turtles are.
Even chimps, like, I mean, that's what was so sad about the documentary. So it shows how, like, when they're young, they're so easily trained. They're stars. They're in movies. They're in TV shows. They're in commercials. Like, they are just, they're everything. But then it showed the dark side of these people who own the chimps. These chimps are, like, 50 to 80 years old, and they're just sitting in a cage all day. Because once they get to a certain age, they're so aggressive. They don't F with humans anymore. They probably start to realize, like, bitch, why am I in a cage? Like, they start being like, I want out. I'm going to attack the humans.
Oh, yeah. And then it is so sad because, like, even if the cage is big, it's still like, if I was in that big of a cage, I would be pissed.
I know. And then the documentary, it shows, like, anyone who owns a chimp, like, they always just end up hurting someone horribly. Like, for the first 5 years, it's the cutest thing ever. Like, it's, oh my gosh, it's so cute. Like, these people were bringing their chimps on vacation with them. They would go out to dinner with the chimp. Everyone in the town was like, oh my God, that chimp is just another citizen of this city. We love them. They get to a certain age, kill everyone. They start killing everyone because they're wild animals and they want to fight other chimps. So they try to fight humans and they just kill them.
Did they say at the end of the documentary, what are the laws now in most of the U.S. states about owning these wild animals?
I think it said basically there still isn't a law prohibiting it. And I think Missouri's like the craziest state where they just kind of it's kind of a free-for-all, they said, all these exotic, rare animals in Missouri.
The funniest thing was that the chimp lady, it literally showed her like, feeding the McDonald's, like in some other, like, she would go to the grocery store and go to the pantry section that had like Cheez-Its and stuff, and she would say like, "They love this."
I know she's feeding them Gatorade, like so. Maybe they need the electrolytes, but yeah, Happy Meals. She would go through the drive-thru and be like, "Can I get 5 Happy Meals?" She's like, "They love the McNuggets." And that funny thing is they even use sauce because she handed these chimps McNuggets, and she's like, "Here's your sauce," and the chimps are like, "Oh my God, yes!" And they rip open the sauce packet. Like, I'm sure they love the taste, but obviously, like, that isn't the best optimal diet for their health.
Oh, yeah, it's like with us, like, oh, yeah, like, McDonald's tastes so good, but yeah, it's probably not the best.
But it was funny, too, because the main lady, she has two human children, and they were like, yeah, like, to be honest, like, sometimes we do feel jealous because she blatantly will say, like, she cares more about the chimps than us. Because she says that, like, she doesn't even hide it. She says, like, I care about them more than my kids. And she said, I would literally give up my family. I give up my marriage for the chimps. I care more about them than anything, which I guess you could say, oh my God, she cares about them so much. But at the same time, it's like, then why are you locking them in cages their whole life?
Yeah. And then it is like sad because when like they all get taken away, it is this thing where it's like, they actually have been with them like their whole life. So like, they probably are sad being like, oh, like, where is she? Like, we love her.
I know.
So it is like this weird thing where it's like not that what she's doing like is good, but it's also like they probably like her.
That's what she claims. She claims, you guys, I see photos of them at the sanctuary that PETA brought them to and they seem lost. They're missing us, but that could just be her delusion. Because I'm assuming they might like being in open space more, but she's saying like, you guys, like they miss being... She called them like human pansies. What'd she say? Chimp humansies. Like she had this certain phrase where she was saying these chimps have been around humans so long that they're basically humans. If they go with other chimps, they're just going to get attacked and it'll be horrible.
So yeah, they're not even like, they're like a whole, she thinks like a whole other category of.
Yeah, there was a time, like, because I watching movies in the 90s growing up, it seemed like the 90s was the prime era for chimps and movies.
Oh, like, okay, it kind of made me think while I was watching it, I feel like there was a whole theme though for like a decade or two, or even multiple decades. Animals were such a big part of movies. Even think about the Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Like, that isn't a chimp, obviously, but I feel like there was this thing where, like, animals, like, there was for sure a phase where animals were such
true.
A big part of movies.
Yeah, because even in the 90s, Homeward Bound, it's just about, just literally, and the whole movie's following pets of a family traveling.
And then what's that one, like, the Golden Retriever is a...
Air Bud.
Yeah,
they
it
made
was a
so
theme.
Many Air Buds.
And the chimp movies they were showing, like, I don't remember them, but I have this memory of watching, like, a movie about, like, these, like, chimps that were, like, people.
Yeah, but now knowing they live so long, like, the chimp in, I think the movie was called Monkey Business. It's the girl from Hocus Pocus. She's in this, the little girl from Hocus Pocus, she's a kid in this movie as well, and it's all about her, like, stealing a chimp from the zoo or something in her backpack and her wanting to, like, keep it. But it's crazy thinking that chimp is probably still alive.
Oh, there needs to be a story about that.
I know. We need to, because they were finding this other celebrity chimp. PETA was all focused on this other celebrity chimp and getting them rescued. I want to find out if the chimp from Monkey Business, are they saved? Are they in the sanctuary or are they in someone's basement? We need to get to the bottom of this. Just because that movie wasn't as big and as this other chimp movie, we need to figure out their whereabouts.
And then is it turning into a thing where PETA's like, we only want the celebrity ones. Like, will it turn out to be like in 10 years, like, they will stop caring because they got all the celebrity ones. And they're like, we don't care about the regular ones because we only want the ones that are famous.
I know. Couldn't you see, like, for example, I contact PETA and say, you guys, like the movie Monkey Business, can you rescue that chimp? They'd go to Rotten Tomatoes and say, girl, it got a 13%. We don't give a shit. Like, they only want the critically acclaimed famous chimps, like you said.
And then if I had, like, a lion, they would be like, we don't give a fuck. But then when Kim Kardashian has a lion, it's like, we're gonna get it.
It's like, we want Kim's lion. Can you picture these chimps that are the really big movie stars? Like, are they treated special at the sanctuaries?
I could kind of see that.
I know. They're like, they obviously get the master bedroom.
I would kind of think, like, there'd be a thing where, like, the Oscars has like, an animal category.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't.
What do you kind of picture them to have that? Be like the best animal actor. And it's like, they might not be aware that they won the award, but like, they still won the award.
Yeah, they should do that. Because what are some recent animals in film? Trying to think.
There was the one movie, this is still pretty odd. The one with Jennifer Aniston, Marley and Me.
Oh.
That had a dog. Yeah. That was like.
But was there anything super recent?
Oh, this one actually, I didn't watch it, but A Strays.
Oh.
Had like Will Ferrell and
but
like,
would that all just be CGI?
I don't know.
What about the cat from Katy Perry's "I Kissed a Girl" music video? She's laying on the bed petting a cat as she's singing about kissing a girl. Where's that cat? Is it safe? You know what I mean? I'm assuming it was part of a stage family, so we need to find that cat.
That's weird.
The Pomeranians from the Fred movie. Where are they? Just sad.
Know.
It's just sad.
But the whole thing with these wild animals, though, like people having lions, chimpanzees, like maybe people even have gorillas, I don't know. But the thing about it is I just get scared that these people don't know how to keep them captive. And then like I'll be on a walk one day and there's going to be a lion because someone in this neighborhood had a lion from the 90s. And they just randomly, the lion got enough strength to break the thing. And like it's like a thing where it's like, where I live, there isn't supposed to be lions on the loose. But now there is because these people got them.
I know. Even in that docuseries that we've been talking about, one of the chimps gets loose. And it didn't, luckily, they lived in a pretty remote area, so it didn't attack anyone. But yeah, can you imagine a chimp's just on the loose?
Yeah, because I think a few years ago, like, there was something that got loose from, like, someone in Kansas or something.
Let's all just text 555 and donate $5 to PETA. But they probably have one of those things where you can text a 5-thing number.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Let's do it. What does PETA stand for? Pets? Pets every... Anyway, we'll get back to
that. Wait, but why
would
it be pets? Wouldn't it just be animals in general? Because they care about like vegans, too.
Wait, pediatrician? No, not pediatrician. What does PETA stand for? PETA stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Yes. Ain't that the truth?
You would think everyone would be for that, but then it turns out like, oh, like I ate chicken. So.
Oh, yeah, does PETA...
So technically, I wouldn't be.
Does PETA get into that part of things? Like, do they make sure chicken factories are not being so horrible to these animals? Or is it more about, like...
I don't know if I'm right, but I thought, like, PETA was for, like, veganism and stuff. So they might even be, like, against, like, the whole idea of even eating chicken. Like, I don't know if I'm completely right, but I think it would be, like, oh, we don't... We just want, like, chickens to not die, not even being killed humanely or whatever.
Yeah, they talk about that in the documentary. Like, they used to do, like, these really... Like, just jarring spectacles to, like, promote veganism and stuff. Like, they would show humans with all their guts out laying on the sidewalk. And, like, other humans would be eating their guts just to prove, like, this is what you're doing if you're eating a hamburger. You know what I mean?
The thing about it is that, like, those, like, ads that, like, make you, like, scared, like, what? Like, they actually do work because I feel like people that saw those documentaries on Netflix where it, like, showed, like, these farms that had a bunch of animals and stuff. I feel like that turned, like, let's just say 10 million people vegan for 2 months, which for that 2 months, like there was a lot of animals that didn't die.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
Even like you
were vegan for like 2 months, so at least you were vegan for 2 months.
That's true. It's better than nothing.
So it's worked a little bit.
True. Should we wrap it up?
Let's do it. Okay, so the conclusion. So we talked about a lot, guys. We talked about magnets on cars, some innovative ideas. We
chimps.
Talked about the avocado maker, Taylor Swift.
Just take it all in. I know it's a lot. Take notes.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week, darling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.